Okay, are we ready to get back into God's Word? You can take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 1. And I want to thank Tom for inviting me to be a part of this. It's been very rewarding for me, and I am praying that it'll be rewarding for you as well. In Romans chapter 1, and in verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. You know, I know this wasn't the first epistle written chronologically, but it is the first in the setting forth of the doctrine to the church. And I think it's interesting that Paul's first introduction of himself is as a servant of Jesus Christ. And the word servant there is that Greek word that you're familiar with, doulos, which typically means a slave, often translated a bond servant. And there are two primary words that are used for servant in the scriptures. There are some other ones, but there's two that are primary, and it's the word doulos and the word diakonos. And in Matthew 20, if you'll turn there, both of them are used. And here in Matthew 20, the mother of the Zebedee boys came to Jesus and was requesting something of him, that in his kingdom her sons could sit on his right hand and on his left. And the other apostles got a little upset with that, became a little indignant. And Jesus is responding to this in Matthew chapter 20 and in verse 25. It says, But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The first word minister in verse 26 is that word diakonos. And the simplest way to say that is it's just one who serves. There's no specifics regarding the service being rendered or anything. It's just he's one who serves. Doulos is also one who serves. But when you study the word doulos, you'll notice in the context where it's used, it's always service being done regarding his lord or master of the servant and what he's requesting him to do. And that's the difference here in these two words. Jesus said, you know, when you observe the Gentiles, what makes them stand out, what gets them recognition is the authority and the power that they wield, you know. And he said, that's not the way it's going to be with you. What's going to make you great is the way in which you serve. And he says, if you want to be chief, and chief means to be first in rank, honor, or influence, let him be your doulos. So that, as I said, that the big distinction is doulos is always in reference to the master, the Lord, what he is asking you to do. And look at Galatians chapter 1. And we'll get a running start. We'll start in verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul had been entrusted with this gospel. He had received it from the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it came to the preaching of the gospel, he was going to guard that gospel. And he said, do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the doulos of Christ. You know, he had one that he was seeking to please, and that was his Lord Jesus Christ, who had entrusted that gospel to his care. So he had one he was seeking to please. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, familiar verse to us, verse 24. And it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You know, a doulos can only serve one. And that's what Paul was concerned with, was his service to his master. He had one that he was seeking to please. And doesn't that simplify things? When you only have one that you're seeking to please. You know, and that's what Paul was doing. While we're here in Matthew, I want to read you one other verse. Turn over to chapter 8. This is one of the distinguishing characteristics of a doulos. And this is where the centurion had come to Jesus and asked him to heal his servant. And Jesus said in verse 7 that I will come and heal him. And then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, my doulos, do this, and he doeth it. You know, a doulos is one who carries out the commands of his master. I say, do this, and he doeth it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And in verse 20, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 20, it says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant, a doulos? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. So if when you got born again, you were a doulos, a servant to another man, he said, don't worry about it. I thought it was interesting, you know, because the term doulos, slaves, comes up quite a bit in the epistles. And one of the guys I was reading said that during that period of time in the first century, it wasn't uncommon for them to be slaves. And he said possibly as many as one out of every three were slaves. So maybe that's why it comes up so much in these things, because there would have been a lot of people getting born again who found themselves in that situation. And it says here that, you know, if that would happen to be your case, that's okay, don't worry about it. But he said, you know, if you can be set free, certainly take advantage of that. But then he tells you why in verse 22. He says, for he that is called in the Lord being a servant, he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. So even if you happen to be a doulos, a servant to a man at this time, when you get born again, you're free. You're free. And then he says, likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's doulos. So that means not only was Paul a doulos, but all of us in this room are a doulos of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. We are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and I know I was taught many years ago that to be a doulos was really a level of service to be to grow into, that you wanted to be a part of. I can remember many years ago, after hearing this teaching, I just got a new Bible, and I was, you know, very impressed with this, and I thought, that's what I want to do. And so I wrote a whole page in the back of the Bible about my life's goal being a doulos for my Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have that Bible anymore. I looked for it, and I must have lost it or got rid of it at some point. But, you know, one thing that happened was I found I wasn't very successful at it. I kept falling short because although I had a noble motive in doing so, I was trying to do it by my own strength and my own ability, my own faithfulness, my own determination, and it was very frustrating. But here it says that when we believed on Jesus Christ, just like I am righteous, just like I'm a new creation, just like I am holy, just like I am a citizen of heaven, I'm a doulos of my Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know, did I read you? I don't think I read you those. When he said in Matthew chapter 20 about if you want to be chief, to be a doulos. Chief means to be first in rank, honor, or influence. When we become a doulos of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a position of honor. That's a position of influence that we get to hold. You know, Tom just talked about Matthew 13 and taking our yoke upon him. Well, he said, take my yoke upon you. So when we do that, who are we yoked with? We are yoked with our Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to him. What a privilege we have. And this is part of who we are. It's not that we have been faithful and now we are able to be a slave of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that we have done so well. Just like with our righteousness, just like with our holiness. This is who he says that we are. We are bound to him. We are his doulos. We are yoked with our master. And then look at verse 23. Why is this the case? Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the doulos of men. And I want to consider this a little bit. These are things that we've talked about already this week, but I want to consider this in light of why you and I are now slaves, doulos, yoked with the master, bound to him in this service. Why did we need to be bought? Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So get a good education. No, the context is not talking about that at all. Because the word know there is that word gnosko, which means an experiential knowing. And it's also future because he told him to continue in my word, and he said if they do that, they will experience the truth and that is going to make you free. It's future. Verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And I always find this humorous Unless there's something I don't understand about this verse, and if anybody knows more than I do, you can tell me. But for them to make this statement is really shocking. Had they ever heard of a nation called Egypt? Or Assyria? Or Babylon? Not to count all the smaller nations during that period of the book of Judges? To say that they were never in bondage and were free? Well, anyway, Jesus wasn't talking about that kind of bondage either. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant, the doulos of sin." Whosoever committeth sin is the doulos of sin. And there's an interesting note in the New English Translation. In their verse notes, they talk about this, whoever committeth sin. It says, this could simply be translated, everyone who sins. But the Greek is more emphatic, and then it goes into words used and the construction of it. And it says, here repeated, continuous action is in view. The one whose lifestyle is characterized by repeated, continuous sin is a slave of sin. Does that remind you of any verses that we read? I think Katie covered them and Marta covered them. Does that remind you of anything? I'm thinking like Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Yeah, that was us prior to believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We were in that pattern of a lifestyle characterized by sin, right? Because we were doulos of sin. We were slaves of sin. The reason we had to be purchased because we had a previous master. We had a very cruel master in sin. That's why Jesus had to pay that price that he paid so that we could be freed from our previous master. And of course, not only that, because when Adam sinned, he not only lost the spirit and died spiritually, but he also forfeited the authority that he had as well, right? And another picked that authority up, and that was our adversary, the devil. So not only were we slaves to sin, we were also under the authority of the devil. So we got a double whammy in that sin. And that's why we are doulos of sin. That's why we needed someone to purchase our freedom. Another thing I read, I thought it was very interesting. He was talking about the ways you could become a slave. And he said, you know, you could be simply born into a family. You know, if mom and dad are already in slavery, if you're born into that family, you're going to be a slave as well, right? You could also be on the wrong side of a conflict where you got conquered and then you were put into slavery. And one of the most common ones that appears in the first century was you could have a debt that you weren't able to pay, and then you would be put into slavery in order to pay off that debt. And in looking at those three things, I thought, wow, we qualified in every category. You know, we were born into slavery because of we were descendants of Adam. And because of that, we also lost the conflict and were under the authority of our adversary. And we also owed a debt that we could not pay. So we qualified in all three ways and were the doulos, the servants, the slaves of sin. But fortunately, in verse 35 here in John chapter 8, it says, "And the servant of sin abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." You know, Jesus came to free us from our previous master, to set us free from that bondage of sin that we were in, to pay the price to free us from that. Look at Romans chapter 6. And I think Tom did, I know Marta did, and I know Katie did mention these verses, but they were very gracious and they didn't read them, so I'm the first one. Romans chapter 6 and in verse 15. It says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the slaves of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you." And that form of doctrine is that doctrine that we read about in Galatians chapter 1 that Paul had received from the Lord Jesus Christ regarding our ability to believe those words and be saved, right? And verse 18 says, "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants, the slaves of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, doulos, slaves to righteousness unto holiness. For ye were the slaves of sin." When ye were the slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness, not where you want to be. "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life." You know, now we're slaves, as it says, to God. And don't get confused. I know we read that no man can serve two masters. Being a slave to God and being a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ is not serving two masters, right? It's kind of like reading in Timothy and Titus, I think, are the two main places. It talks about God, our Savior. And then in the same context, it talks about Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, God is at the root of all of this. You know, it was because of his love that all this was set into place. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the agent to carry out that plan. And remember, it's Acts 2:36, that God hath made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. It's our God who has put him in that position of lordship, and that's why God wants us to be slaves, servants to him, because he is the one who's been given, as Tom read, all authority in heaven and in earth. You know, and God's put him in that position. And our Lord Jesus Christ is still carrying out the will of God, right? Because that plan that God put into motion way back when is still in operation. It is not completed. It's not run the full cycle yet because we're still here, okay? But we have now been freed from that. And look at 1 Peter chapter 1. What we read in 1 Corinthians 7 says, "You were bought with a price." And of course, the price that was paid for us, we never want to forget. First Peter 1, 18 and 19. I'm going to read this one to you from the NIV. It says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." You know, we were redeemed by that precious blood of Christ. And redeemed means to be released on receipt of a ransom. You know, he paid the ransom. The price was his sinless blood, his sinless life that he gave, so that you and I could be freed from our previous master, that bondage of sin and under the authority of the devil, and now become servants, slaves to our Lord Jesus Christ, to be bound to him, to be yoked to our master. Yeah, we previously read in Matthew 20:28, where he said, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." You know, and we are bound to him in service because he's the one that purchased us. He paid the price by giving his life for us. And what a privileged people we are that our perfect Lord and Savior would lay down his life to buy us. You know, I think that's highly overpriced for what he got. But he wanted it, you know. God wanted us, and he was willing to lay down his life for us. You know, and the foundation of our services, the doulos, is really the example set forth by our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we are to think in this same way. I'll read you the NIV of this too, because I think in the context, I didn't want to read the other verses leading into this. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. You know, it says being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That equal with God, if you read that in the Gospel of John, they were getting very upset with him because he said he was the Son of God, thus making himself equal with God. You know, the point being made here is that Jesus Christ knew who he was. He knew he was God's only begotten Son. You know, there was no doubt about the relationship that he had with his Heavenly Father, which is obvious in the way that he walked on this earth. He knew who he was. He knew what his rights and privileges were. He also knew the mission that he had been sent forth on, which is what verse 7 is talking about, made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a slave, a doulos, and was made in the likeness of men. You know, he knew going into this what his mission was and what it was going to cost him. You can read in Isaiah, it talks about Jehovah's servant. And servant in Isaiah, it's the same, it's the Greek equivalent of doulos, the word that's used in the Hebrew there. And so he knew who he was, and he knew what was going to be required of him. If you want to look at that term, Isaiah 42, 1 through 7, Isaiah 52, 13 through 15, and then all of Isaiah 53. But it's talking about the doulos of the Lord and what he was going to do. Of course, we know, especially from Isaiah 53, what that was going to be. He was going to sacrifice himself to take the penalty and the punishment that we deserved upon himself. But he went in knowing that that was what was going to be required of him. So he took upon him the form of a slave and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, he was willing to be obedient to that end, even the death of the cross, and to give his life for us. Of course, we won't read the rest, but God also highly exalted him for that as well. And that's all still yet to come. But, you know, he paid our debt and then he set us free. I think Marta read this, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. NIV is a little more pointed and I think handles it much better. It is for freedom that Christ hath set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You know, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Which, talk about the grace of God. He didn't set us free to enslave us again. He set us free so that we would be free. And not only did he set us free, rather than enslave us, he exalted us. We got to share in his accomplished work. Just think about that for a minute. He laid down his life. He paid the price to free us from our previous master. And he did it just so that we could be free. And then he didn't just set us free, but then he exalted us. You know, like we've been covering, new creations in Christ, holy ones, righteous ones, citizens of heaven. You know, all those things he did for us. And the great thing, just like being a messenger and being a doulos, those are unchanging. You didn't earn that. This is who you are. You may not have not have thought of yourself as a slave of Jesus Christ, as a servant of Jesus Christ, because maybe you haven't been faithful or maybe you haven't done this or participated in that. No, that is who you are. You are a servant of Jesus Christ. He set us free, and then rather than enslave us or require something of us, which he had every right to do, he exalted us and let us share in his accomplished work. And that's the mindset that we go into this with. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ, when he went into the mission that he was going to accomplish, he went in, didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God, that God was his Father. He knew who he was, you know. And that's the way he went into it. We do the same thing. We are righteous. We are holy. We are sanctified. All those things are true of us, and we are servants of Jesus Christ. That is who I am. But he set us free. He gives us the freedom to choose what we're going to do with that. Isn't that amazing? That he would so love us and give us that privilege. Still, because he has set us free, we get to choose. We're not forced to serve, but he certainly wants us to serve. And he certainly deserves it. We were bought with a price. And that price was his life. He was willing to lay it down to be yoked with us. Amazing. Just amazing. Down in verse 13, it tells us, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." You see, we have the choice. We have the choice. He says, but don't use that. Occasion is that military word for a base of operations. Don't use that to start, once again, going back into the slavery I just let you out of by catering to the flesh. You know, but by love, serve one another. You know, just like in Matthew, it seems kind of ironic that the way we can best enjoy the freedom, the liberty we've been given is by service to each other. Being directed by our Lord. Yeah. But that's what he says. Kind of like in John 13 when he gave him the example of the foot washing, where he told him, "This, you'll be happy if you do it." You know. And with us, you know, he wants us to serve, but he wants us to do it because we love him. And certainly when we stop and think about the sacrifice he made to purchase us, what other response can there be but to love him? And it is very freeing for us because we get to choose these things. We have nothing to prove. We have nothing to prove. You are righteous. You are holy. You are a servant of Jesus Christ. You are a messenger for him. All those things are true of us, even if we never do anything. But why would we not want to do it? You know, he has so loved us. You know, and also like we read in Matthew, if you want to be chief, be a doulos. Well, he didn't wait for us to choose. He just made us one. You have that top ranking with him. It's a position of honor that we share. All of us in here, we share that. And, you know, if you study the word doulos, if you look at it like in the parables that Jesus had, you always see the master sending the doulos out to carry out his business. You know, like when they were going to do the wedding, remember, and the guests all gave excuses and they weren't going to show up. So what's he do? He gets his doulos and sends him out to find more people. When they did the field with the husbandman. And to go check the crops and the produce, the doulos is the one he sends out to go check everything out. You know, that's how we are with him. We are trusted servants that he can send to carry out his business. What a privilege we've been given. Look at Titus chapter 2. We're just about finished here, which is good because I'm just about out of time here. Titus chapter 2. In verse 14, Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. I'm going to read it to you from the NIV. It says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. That's us. A people that are his very own. You know, that's what God wanted. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ wanted. And he's put us in that position of being a servant to him, a doulos, one who answers to his master. Let's finish up in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3:14 says, and above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And of course, name there is not referring to what he's called. It's referring to the resources and authority that that name carries. And that's why I was so frustrated when I was trying to be a doulos, but I was doing it with my own strength. It doesn't work. But if we do it in his name with the authority and the resources that he's given us, that's how we can accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. Down in verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Father, thank you for just your goodness to us. It's overwhelming. And we are so thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, for his love, the sacrifice he was willing to make, that we could be his people. Father, we are just so grateful for that and for the privileges that you have granted us in allowing us to share in his wealth and riches of his accomplishments, Father, that we might be yoked with him as we walk in this world. And we just thank you so much for your love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.